This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long filling in for the vacationing Steve Thompson, and looking forward to this show. And I think you will be too once you hear about the topic. I'm gonna let the host Tom Schroyer tell us about it and who he brought with him today. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Great to have you on the program here with us today, and to be here with Dave Jendrzejczyk, who is a senior shareholder with the business law firm of Moss and Barnett. And good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Great to have you back on the show for another visit and appearance. Dave is a certified employment and labor law attorney, certified by the Minnesota State Bar Association, and also is certified as a civil trial specialist. Now, that's quite a distinction, Denny. There are only four attorneys in the entire state of Minnesota who have two certifications, of course, that's a huge accomplishment for Dave Jendrzejczyk.
I should say, I didn't know that. That's quite the deal.
It is, and of course, those are great specialties to be combining because the overlap between litigation, civil litigation, and employment law, and a lot of course, what happens plays out in the courts and in lawsuits. So, Dave, you have a tremendous perspective to bring to a new topic that is now really starting to take hold in the employment law area, and that is the new rules for social media in the workplace.
That's right, Tom. The rules really are changing. As everyone knows, social media are increasing at exponential rates, and we see a further intersection between social media and the workplace. And just to make sure we have our terminology correct, when I'm talking about social media, what I have in mind is not only Facebook and Twitter, but also the host of countless other websites that involve such sites as MySpace, LinkedIn, Wikipedia, and as well as blogs, message boards, and vlogs, a whole host of social media of that nature.
You're leaving me behind already. I'm on the wrong side of the digital divide, I'm afraid, in
you're
society.
You're not alone, Tom.
but I do know and understand how important these social media have become. And are you including YouTube in that as well as another form of communication on the Internet?
Oh, absolutely. YouTube, as you know, is growing at an incredible pace and being used more frequently in the workplace than you would imagine.
Now, at Moss and Barnett, we actually have a social media and blog policy or element in our employment manual. And so, you know, we've started to think outside the box a little bit about that. And in what way are social media legally significant for the employment area, Dave? A lot of people are using them at work, or do they pertain to work in a legally significant way?
Well, people do use them at work. They use them everywhere. Just taking Facebook as an example, Tom, do you know that there are over 500 million active users of Facebook? The average user has something like 130 friends, many of whom, as you may well imagine, are not only friends but coworkers and, in some cases, even supervisors. With all of that intersection between the workplace and social media, there are a lot of interesting dynamics that can occur.
I really feel so out of it, Denny, when I hear a number like a half a billion people, each with 138 friends interacting on something that, frankly, I've never even gotten into.
Yeah, as I said, you're not alone, but like you're suggesting that even our company would like us to participate more in these things as more people are getting involved in it. So you and I got to catch up.
Exactly. No, I'm sure we'll be there. I will have to make an effort here. So, Dave, the scale of this is just breathtaking. What are people using social media that has an impact for employment law issues?
Well, it comes from several different perspectives. Number one, employers are using social media themselves to screen applicants for jobs. As a matter of fact, the most recent survey suggests that as high as 45% or 50% of employers use social media to screen their applicants. Not only that, but employers are very much aware of the kinds of posts that employees may put not only on the employer sites, but other websites that refer to employers. And employers have some real interest in ensuring that what's out there and what's said about them is appropriate and does not create legal issues.
Very interesting. And I suppose folks could also be misusing social media at work for a variety of activities that that really have no place coming into the workplace.
Well, that's right. Of course, people, even there are productivity issues implicated here. Many employers prevent their employees from using social media at work by restricting websites and so forth. There's an awful lot of time, minutes and hours, that can be wasted by employees using social websites at work.
One of the things I think that most folks have in mind about this issue, too, and I know we're going to talk about it at some length, but maybe just get to it first here, and that is, you know, there's a difference between my private life and my work life. And yet these social media seem to blur that distinction, and in ways that I think some folks don't necessarily anticipate, and because they're thinking they have a right to privacy that maybe doesn't exist in the law, at least with regard to their employment relationship.
Well, the fact is there is very much a blurring between the private and public workplace situations. The fact is the workplace has changed, and they're really – for many employees, there isn't even a physical location for a workplace. Not only that, the workday has changed. Some employees seem to be on the call 24/7 at times, with BlackBerries and email being as prevalent as it is. And so the normal separation between work and home life has blurred tremendously.
Sure. Well, we'll be talking again more about the distinction between work and private life. But is there any kind of a bright line test that you can draw between those spheres?
Well, there's really not, and that's why there is such a this area presents some real problems, not only for employers but for employees. Depending on how social media are used by employees, that can get employees into trouble. Sometimes get fired for what they may post on websites. It may also create very substantial legal risks for employers.
Well, I know where it comes into play in my practice is that we're able to find information about opposing parties in a lawsuit now that we didn't get a chance to see years before, and especially in the area of family law and divorcing couples, child custody issues, where people will post amazing things on the Internet that are actually quite material to litigation and adverse to their position. So it really is quite amazing what folks will do with the social media.
It is amazing. It's surprising. And those kinds of things, though, create real issues for employers. Employers, you know, they need to protect the integrity of their business. And depending on the nature of the posting, there can be some very detrimental information that employees may post about their business. Just let me give you one example of that. Back in April 2009, there were two Domino Pizza employees, who posted videos of disgusting and unsanitary activities in preparing pizzas, and this was posted online. The video went viral, and it was responsible not only for a loss of business, but for a steep decline in stock values.
And did the employer have recourse?
Well, the employer did have recourse. The employer was justified in that situation in terminating those employees.
It seems that folks are using this in sort of a whistleblower sense as well then.
Well, they're using it sometimes to complain about their circumstances in work, the way that the workplace is functioned. In this case, in Domino's, they were simply playing a prank posting defamatory-type information that really was detrimental to the employer.
All right. So the video was false. It was fabricated.
It was fabricated.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good good to know, and reminds us of how we need to be careful about checking things on the Internet, because things can be so easily fabricated.
They can be. And it may be false information. It may be truthful information that can hurt an employer just as well. For example, employers have rights to their own intellectual property information and confidential business information, which, if published on a website or a blog, can cause real harm to employers.
Well, we'll be talking about this at more length this morning. Denny, it'd be a great topic for folks to call in with questions or text their questions in.
This is a great topic. If you're just joining us, the topic today, the new rules for social media in the workplace. Let me give our phone numbers and our text number. And if you have a question or comment, by all means, 651-989-9226. Toll free is 866-989-9226. Or you may text us at 81807. Presented by Moss and Barnett every Saturday in the 11 o'clock hour. It's called Minnesota Law here on 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
How did you become a lawyer? Did you know the Minnesota rules for admission to practice law require that a person attend an accredited law school and pass a two-day bar examination?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO. From the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
And welcome back to this portion of Minnesota Law, presented every Saturday in the 11 o'clock hour by Moss and Barnett. Today, very interesting show. We would like to get you to get involved, if you like. New rules for social media in the workplace. Before I throw it back to Tom, let me give our phone numbers once again. 651-989-9226, 866-989-9226, or you may text us at 81807. Tom?
Thanks, Denny. We are with Dave Jendrzejek, a shareholder with Moss and Barnett, and Dave is a certified employment and labor law attorney, as well as a civil trial specialist, all certified by the Minnesota State Bar Association. And we're talking about the interplay between social media and employment laws. And one of the ways that social media has started to crop up, Dave, is that employers are looking at social media, Facebook and blogs and the like, doing internet searches about job applicants for screening and interviewing.
They sure are, Tom. I mentioned that some 45-50% of employers are using social media to screen their job applicants today, and some take it to real extremes. Let me give you an example. Applicants for city jobs in the city of Bozeman, Montana, are asked to submit a list of all of their current personal business websites, web pages, and memberships, social clubs, including Facebook, Google, Yahoo, you name it, and they're asked to list the website, the username, their login information, and their passwords in order to apply for a job.
In other words, they are being asked to consent to the employer, the potential employer, screening all of their social media and, in fact, waiving any objection to that.
That's exactly right. Now, that's an extreme
example. Is that legal?
Is it legal? Yes, it's legal insofar as that requirement goes. But it's just an example of how employers are using social media so extensively to get at issues relating to employees. Not only the good information, such as community work, community involvement, positive work attributes and traits, but also the negative things, of course.
Well, I have a personal example. One of my sons is applying for graduate school, and we were advised to make sure that the Facebook is shaped up the way we want it to be so that the college admissions board gets a favorable impression. And I don't know. I thought, though, that you had to give permission for folks to access social media like Facebook, that people couldn't get there without asking.
Well, it depends on whether or not the Facebook page or other social media site is accessible to the public or not. What's out there in the public, which is an awful lot of material on Facebook and other sites, is free game for the employer. Now, if the employer wants to get other information, it does have to get permission from the owner of the site, that individual, to be able to get in to that individual's face page.
Sure. I mean, I'm posting, I imagine most folks do in the professional world now, on LinkedIn, where literally anyone can make access to what I have available there. But I think that that is also being tied into these web rating services called, I'm thinking of Avvo, for example, where you know, people can go in, strangers, maybe they've worked with me, maybe not, and put a rating on what they think of my my legal services. That would be, I suppose, another issue for potential employees if they are subject to that kind of scrutiny.
Well, that's true. And employers take into account whatever they see on the web. And in a recent study that was done, of those employers that use social media as a basis to screen applicants, some 34% made a decision based upon what they saw on the site.
What are they basing their decisions on?
Well, both positive things and negative things. But as you can well imagine, it's the negative things that are most a concern to employees. Things that reflect badly on the individual, such as drinking habits, potential drug use, other types of bad conduct on their part.
Well, now, I take it from what you've been saying that an employer does not have to ask consent. They can just go, or a prospective employer screening an interview applicant can just go ahead and check out the internet, and what's there is public.
What's there is public. That's absolutely correct.
All right. So the warning is to for folks posting to be wary. But what if somebody posts something about one that you have no control over?
Well, that's a difficult problem because it's very difficult to have any information removed from the internet. It may well be that that's a matter that if the employee is aware of it, it's something that may even have to be disclosed to the potential employer.
Now, are there issues with employers doing this that could potentially blow up in their face?
Well, there are some real risks to employers' use of social media.
Legal risks.
Legal risks, absolutely. And the first step that any employer should take is to decide whether or not they even want to use social media, whether they even want to go there in the first place, because there are real risks. And the risks are these. If the employer finds out something about an employee that they would not otherwise have learned, and perhaps it's something relating to the nature of the employee, perhaps a protected class situation.
A protected class like race, gender, affectional preference, religious, ethnic background?
Disability, yes, exactly, things of those nature. If that occurs and then the employer does not hire the employee may have concerns that the reason for that was what they found out on the website.
All right, we'll come back and follow up on that after the break here.
Indeed we will, and we've got John, one older John in Invergrove Heights, I think has a good question. We'll do that. We certainly welcome your questions. New rules for social media in the workplace. You've joined Minnesota Law on WCCO Radio, presented each week by Moss and Barnett. We'll be right back.
This is News Radio 830 WCCO.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Minnesota Law, presented every Saturday morning here on WCCO by Moss and Barnett. Great topic today. We're enjoying it here, and I hope you are at home, too, or on the road. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, we welcome your questions. 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. The topic today, the new rules for social media. And Tom, Dave, should we go to the phones right away, or do you have something to say before we go?
No, let's do the phones.
All right. John has been waiting there in Invergrove Heights. Thanks, John. What is your question, please?
Well, one, thank you very much. This is a great topic and a great show. My question is, can schools regulate the use of social media, or can they discipline students or student-athletes for misuse of social media?
Thanks for the call. What do you think?
Well, the general answer to that is yes. Generally speaking, schools like employers can take action based upon what may appear in social media. It's no different in that respect from other types of information that may come to the attention of a school. The fact that the information comes in the form of social media doesn't change the game in that respect. But there are some complications. And it makes it difficult to answer questions in the specific. For example, there are potential First Amendment rights that may come into play in this situation, which blur the line between what may be appropriate and what is inappropriate. And there are also questions that arise at times regarding the veracity of information that may appear on a web posting. It's not unheard of for there to be counterfeit postings and for someone to assume someone else's identity in making a posting.
Also, perhaps equal protection and due process rights under the Constitution, as well as First Amendment rights for deprivation of government services based on that kind of information, Dave. But I would say, for example, on the student-athlete question, if there's an indication of consumption of alcohol, and there's a picture right there, that would be fair game for the coaches to, at a minimum, follow up on and impose discipline if warranted.
Absolutely. It is proof that that something is going on and usually would warrant some kind of follow-up by those in authority.
651-989-9226, if you'd like to join in, 651-989-9226, or toll-free 866-989-9226. And keep in mind, we are moving into the 21st century. You can text us at 81807. We will actually be able to read your text messages here on CCO, 81807. Tom?
Yes, thanks, Denny. We were talking before the break about the use by employers of social media, Facebook, and the like to screen applicants for positions. And, Dave, you were just starting to talk about why that can be a double-edged sword that actually could boomerang on an employer with some adverse consequences.
Yes, and some of the primary concerns are these. I referred to the fact that there may be protected information that could give rise, for example, to a discrimination claim if the applicant is denied the position.
In other words, employers now go out of their way to not get information that could be the basis for a claim of discriminatory treatment in the hiring process, such as we don't ask anymore for religious background or gender or race, but getting a social media access might lead to that discovery.
That's exactly right. And there is on the books these days something called the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008, which prohibits employers from acquiring genetic information. Well, you can very easily imagine situations where Facebook postings, for example, might make references to all the individual's parents with some disease that may be transmitted, that may be genetic in nature, such as Alzheimer's, and that is genetic information, which at that point the employer possesses and arguably could be in violation of the statute.
I suppose a search could turn up one of these websites that features people going through their illnesses and they're blogging about how their treatment is going, et cetera. That could be also potentially a double-edged sword for the employer. Having that information could be like being stuck to the tar baby.
That's exactly right. And once the employer has that information, it has it. The bell can't be unrung. And so there's no way to get around that.
All right, let's talk about the use of social media at the workplace. Can an employer limit that?
They sure can, and most of them do, and most of them should, not only for productivity reasons, but also for other reasons that affect the employer in the workplace. For example, when it comes to employees posting posts on websites that may affect the products and services of the business or perhaps some competitor, it's required under current FTC rules that the employee disclose whatever connection they may have to that product.
So say that again now. If somebody is posting on a blog or a Twitter, or Facebook about a product or a service, they have to disclose if they have a relationship with the purveyor, seller of the product and service?
Yes, that's exactly right. So if the employee voices an opinion about a product or service, whether it's the product and service of their employer or someone else's, they've got to disclose the connection there. That's required under current FTC rules.
All right.
And if the employee fails to do so, that may subject the employer to legal liability.
Now, what about the employer who says we don't want employees writing blogs about political issues? Is that lawful?
Well, that depends on where you live.
Okay.
There are a series of laws, primarily state laws, which we refer to as off-duty conduct laws, that affect employees' use of social media, including blogs, during their off-time hours. And there are many states that have enacted fairly broad laws that protect employees from adverse action based on their use of off-duty forms of media.
And is Minnesota within that list?
Yes, Minnesota is. Minnesota has a statute, 181-938, that states that employer can't refuse to hire someone or discipline someone because the employee has engaged in the use of enjoyment of lawful consumable products. if the use or enjoyment takes place off premises. And the thrust here is to get at situations where an employee, for example, may be using alcohol lawfully, and the statute, in effect, prohibits an employer from terminating someone for lawful use of an alcoholic beverages.
Denny, it's no surprise why it's a good idea for an employment law attorney to be certified as a specialist. My goodness, can you imagine keeping track of all of this information?
My head is spinning, thinking not only now, but how this changes by the minute as we go on.
Exactly, and we'll have some really cutting-edge news here after the break.
Excellent. Well, we hope you join us every Saturday at New Rules for Social Media in the Workplace. That's our topic today. If you have a question or comment, 651-989-9226, 866-989-9226, or you may text us at 81807. Denny Long filling in today for the vacationing Steve Thompson. We'll be back next week for more Minnesota Law presented every Saturday here on WCCO by Moss and Barnett.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know Moss and Barnett has served the citizens and businesses of Minnesota since 1896? Grover Cleveland was the U.S. president when the firm was established, and the area was famed for its lumber and flour milling.
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
From the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
And welcome back to this portion of Minnesota Law on WCCO Radio, presented every Saturday. Hope you join us at the 11 o'clock hour, presented every week by Moss and Barnett. Good show today, the new rules for social media in the workplace. Very topical, very timely. And again, your calls and text messages are welcome. 651-989-9226, 866-989-9226, or you may text us at 81807. Here once again is Tom Schroyer.
Denny, when I was preparing the show this week with Dave Jindrzejek talking about social media in the workplace, I was surprised by some major new developments that occurred just a month ago in this area. It's a good example of why it's important to not only keep up with the law, but also to have somebody who knows what they're doing talking about the law, as does Dave Jindrzejek, who is certified as an employment and labor law attorney by the Minnesota Bar Association. And Dave, I was aware of, you know, the issues you talked about earlier about potentially being stuck or hit with a discrimination or retaliation claim for an employer searching social media. But also there are whistleblower laws that come into play.
There are whistleblower rules that come into play, Tom. That's true. And very often situations can occur where a post may be may involve some complaint about workplace conditions, for example, or something of that nature. And it implicates federal labor law.
And that that in turn leads to the really landmark decisions, I think you've referred to them as, that came out from the National Labor Relations Board just a few weeks ago.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, the first case, it's really a landmark case, of Hispanics United of Buffalo came down just on September 2nd. And what it held is that the employer's termination of five employees based upon some postings on Facebook was an unfair labor practice and therefore inappropriate, and the employer was prohibited from terminating those employees on that basis. It's an interesting case. It's a good example of what can occur. Let me just describe it briefly. There were five employees involved in some Facebook chatter regarding some of the comments made about the employee's performance. And one of the employees posted something on Facebook that said, "A coworker feels that we don't help our clients enough at the employer. How about it? I've had it. My fellow workers, how do you feel?" Essentially an invitation to discuss this issue, this workplace issue with his fellow employees.
Sure.
And several of the employees responded, and there was discussion back and forth with the executive director of the employer terminating those employees, claiming their conduct constituted bullying and violated the employer's policies. there was a complaint filed by those employees, taken up to the National Labor Relations Board, and an administrative law judge determined that by terminating the employees, the employer committed an unfair labor practice by interfering with the employee's right to concerted activity, that is, to talk and communicate among themselves about workplace issues.
My goodness. Now, does this apply only to employment relationships that are governed by a collective bargaining agreement, i.e. a union shop, or does it also apply and extend to non-union employers?
It extends to non-union employers as well, because remember, even employees at non-union employers have the right to organize and become unionized if that is their choice.
My goodness. So this is something that applies really across the board, not only to all employers, but also protects all employees.
That's right. And it was a very far-reaching opinion, too, because the judge ruled that this protection does not depend on, for example, whether the employees had brought their concerns to management. That wasn't required. It didn't depend on the fact that there was no evidence that they intended to take any further action beyond that. And it didn't depend on the fact that they were not attempting to change any of their working conditions.
Very quickly, is there anything that an employer can do to protect against being found liable or in violation of the National Labor Relations Act for this kind of conduct?
Well, the employer has to be very careful when making termination decisions based on postings of this nature when the content of the post concerns workplace or conditions in the workplace. That's the primary point.
All right, very good. At that point, we will take a quick break, but we hope you stay with us. New rules for social media in the workplace. That's our topic today on Minnesota Law, presented every week by Moss and Barnett here on 830 WCCO.
Where Minnesota stays in touch. News Radio 830 WCCO. Also heard on FM at 102.9 WLTE HD2.
And welcome back. Good morning to the remaining moments of Minnesota Law, presented every Saturday here on WCCO by Moss and Barnett. We're talking this morning about the new rules for social media in the workplace. And here once again is Tom Schroyer. Tom, what are we going to talk about the remaining couple of minutes here?
First, I want to thank Dave Jindrzejczyk for being on the show for this really terrific update, fascinating a look at social media in the workplace. And Dave, maybe just wrapping it up by talking about what can employers do to make sure that they're on the same page with their employees with regard to the use and abuse of social media.
Well, there are some very clear and simple things that employers can do. And the most significant is to adopt a written social media policy that outlines exactly what the expectations are of employees and what the employer will do. These are very complicated situations, as we've talked about, difficult to figure out in individual fact patterns. And in order to address it properly, you really need a written policy that gives people direction on how to handle it and what to do.
And so should a policy like that include prohibitions on what can be said, how it can be said, how the media can be used at work and the like?
Yes, that's exactly right. And there should be the policy should address other issues as well, such as what an employee is allowed to say on the blogs, what topics are off limits, and what sort of things the employer just doesn't want out there. For example, the confidential information that we alluded to earlier. The policy needs to let the employees know what they can and what they can't say.
I would add that Moss and Barnett has a policy in place, thankfully. And, for example, it prohibits employees from making, from expressing comments that are inconsistent with lawsuits that we may be handling at the time or positions that we're asserting on behalf of clients, just because that could be used against our clients.
Exactly. And while that's fact-specific to a law firm, there are similar types of prohibitions that other employers may choose to invoke based on their particular circumstance. But policies also need to do some other things as well. They need to make clear that there's no expectation of privacy here, and that the employees should know that they can be monitored at any time.
That's huge to let employees know that those things are in play because, again, I think people do bring into the workplace the expectation that they'll have this continuing right of privacy that we enjoy in our private lives.
Well, Tom, what's a great show today, by the way. And, David, it was nice to meet you. Yeah, very interesting topic. Next week, another interesting one.
You know, Tuesday is the date when Wisconsin's new conceal and carry law comes into effect. We'll have Matt Meyer on the show to talk about gun carry laws both in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Very good. You're going to have a lot of folks listening to that one, as usual. Thanks, Tom. David, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break here for news, and Eric Nelson's going to be here. In fact, he's in makeup right now. He'll be right back in just a few minutes on 830 WCCO.